Well, here you are on Stories and Stuff. This is Joy Bubbles in Minneapolis, your storyteller. Right while we're having our nice warm winter in Australia, they're having their kind of hot summer in January and February. And there's a friend I have over there named Dawn, D-A-W-N. And on one of those hot days, she decided to spend some time on the beach talking to kids and playing in the sand and splashing in the ocean and let kids splash her back and different things like that. And she just had her special beach bag that she had gotten while she was on a trip to Sri Lanka, an island. And a special old robe that she had gotten as a gift from a lady in Bangladesh. I'm sure by today's standards, they don't look too fashionable. And as she was walking along, she saw this jewelry store and decided to go in. Actually, there is a jewelry store because they spell it different. Here it's J-E-W-E-L-R-Y, jewelry. There is jewelry, J-E-W-E-L-L-E-R-Y. It's funny how things are spelled differently in different places. Well, she went in with her frumpy beach clothes, and I guess it was a very highfalutin jewelry store. They looked at Dawn, or I should say looked at her clothing and her beach bag, and immediately knew that she wasn't the lady that would have any kind of interest in the jewelry that they had, and so they looked away and kind of pretended to ignore her. There was two clerks and only one customer kind of looking around at the other side of the store. So they maybe weren't too busy, but when Dawn tried to get their attention, they told her, "We're very busy today, you know." And Dawn said, "I can see that." And so she said, "Well, I was really looking for something of some quality, you know, and I don't think you have anything here of the quality for." "What do you mean?" And she pulled out a brooch that she had with a rather large stone in it, and by the way they took in their breath, it may have been larger than ones they were used to seeing or something, because suddenly they looked at Dawn quite differently, but then they thought to ask, "Is that yours?" And she said, "Well, legally it is. Legally, yes, legally it is. But you know, everything that we have here is really on loan. We're only here in this world for a very short time, and I really don't own anything in a permanent sense. Have you ever seen a hearse pull a U-Haul trailer?" And so they wanted her to stay, and she was starting to walk out. She said, "I've learned just about everything I need to here. They have a nice stone that I liked when I was in South Africa, and now that I've decided, I think I'm going to go there this afternoon on Qantas. I think I just decided I'm going to take a flight. I do things on short notice, you know. And I'll take a little trip over to Johannesburg and just see what's, they had a nice stone there last time I was there. And they said, "We should order it for you. Why wait for you to order it when I could just fly there and get it myself, you know?" And she said, "Oh, I just had a thought. You know what? This is something you may think you can't afford, but you can't afford not to." "What is that?" "My customer service seminar. You know, on how to be, how to see, how to look deep. Have you ever looked deep?" "What do you mean?" "Oh, you're too busy. Well, you know, let me give you my phone number. I think you're overdue for one of my customer service seminars. I'd be glad to give you for a very modest fee of only $1,500. And she thought, sure, by the kind of way she talked so abruptly about it, that she would, of course, never hear from them. She did go to South Africa that afternoon. She's like that. And when she got back on her voicemail, or should I say on her message bank, is what they call it there in Australia, on her message bank was a message from the manager of the jewelry store apologizing and asking her if she wouldn't come in and give them their seminar. She, the manager felt that they could benefit greatly from it. And so, sure enough, Dawn set it up, and they were going to open a new store soon, so they brought the people in that were going to be working at the new store and some other people and gathered a good bunch of people together. And she was talking about diamond cutting and different things, and suddenly she pulled out some stones that were very large, heart-shaped opal and other rather valuable stones, and they were taking in breath. But she said, now I'm going to show you something really, really valuable, more valuable than these little baubles. And she brought out her beach bag and talked about it. And how the third world people, they live on so little. And she talked about the robe, and it was the only one the lady in Bangladesh had, and different things like that. And they, but she gave it to her, and the little top that a little boy gave her, a little wooden spinning top, that because she had prayed with him and stuff and hugged him and helped him cry. And all these different little things. And she said, I'd consider any one of these far more valuable than those little trivial baubles I showed you before. And she talked about seeing deep and listening to what people aren't saying. Oh, yeah. In the 2 days, one of the things she did is read this poem that I had read to her. And it's by Shel Silverstein. It's called The Little Boy and the Old Man. I'll read it here. Said the little boy, sometimes I drop my spoon. Said the old man, I do that too. The little boy whispered, I wet my pants. I do that too, laughed the little old man. Said the little boy, I often cry. The little old man nodded, so do I. But worst of all, said the boy, it seems grown-ups don't pay attention to me. And he felt the warmth of a wrinkled old hand. I know what you mean, said the little old man. I know what you mean, said the little old man. Looking deep, listening to what's not being said. It reminds me of my friend Penelope. Actually, when I was little, I was in about sixth grade, I guess, I was reading out loud in class, and I came to P-E-N-E-L-O-P-E, and I knew the words elope and slope. I learned elope from a soap opera. And they all ended in L-O-P-E, rope, O-P-E, so I said penelope, and the teacher corrected me gently. But you know, it said it's not penelope, that one is Penelope, the E is accented. And the whole class roared with laughter, and I was pretty embarrassed. And I told Penelope about that, this friend I met in 1995, one of my very best friends in the world, that lives in Oklahoma City. So sometimes when she'd call me, she'd say, hello, this is penelope. To rhyme with envelope. And, of course, that's not... You never know what she was going to say. One time I had told her about going to give blood and how they wouldn't take my blood because I had too much sugar in my urine. And so after that, she'd say, hello, sweet pea, for weeks and weeks when she'd call me. She's like that. She can't even say my name once. She usually, when she calls, she says, Joy Bubbles, Joy Bubbles, Joy Bubbles. She likes my name so much, she has to say it 3 times. Well, Penelope was expecting a baby, and it was going to come in 9 months. Boy, that's hard to wait. That seems so long when it's when you're waiting. Well, the baby finally came. The baby was very still when it was born, stillborn. Little girl, beautiful little girl. They had decided to name her Mindy if she was a girl, and she was so beautiful. So still, she was born dead. For a while, it was hurt beyond even crying. And because I'm such good friends of hers and Judy's, her partner of 25 years, I still cry too inside over Mindy, somebody I'll never forget. Well, Judy asked Penelope, they have wonderful little things here, a bracelet and a little birth certificate, and she named a bunch of things. No, throw those away. I don't ever want them. You throw those away right now. Get out of here. Throw them away. And so Judy left for a little while and came back a little later. And after Penelope came home from the hospital a couple weeks later, she was... saying, oh gosh, I wish I would have gotten those things. Oh, I wish I hadn't told you to throw them away. And Judy said, you really do? You wish you had them, huh? Yeah, it's too late. So Judy went out to the car and came back and had a big cake box. And oh, did Penelope get mad. That's the last thing she wanted was a cake. Because Judy had this thing of loving to bake cakes. And brought so many of them to Penelope's house. Penelope just had to stop her from bringing cakes because the refrigerator was full of cakes. And she wondered why Judy was bringing a cake. And she said, well, Judy said, what makes you think this is a cake? And, well, what is it if it's not a cake then? And Penelope took it from Judy. And Judy said, well, just open it. And in there was all that stuff that Penelope had told Judy not to get. How did you know? How did you know I'd want this? Penelope was crying. And Judy said, you know, a good friend is somebody that knows enough to know when no doesn't mean no. No means yes sometimes. And so Penelope got a frame and got Judy a special poem she had gotten somewhere and had it written up in calligraphy, some real fancy writing. And this is what that poem says here. It says, a friend, she is one who troubles herself to get you out of scrapes and then scrapes to get you out of trouble. She sticks with you when you are stuck. She's never in your way except when you're on your way down. There are no strings attached to her friendship except the ones she pulls for you. She never asks you for a favor as though it were coming to her and never makes you feel that she's doing one for you. She gets her biggest kick out of helping you kick over your obstacles. Her biggest disappointments are the ones that come to you. And all she wants in return for her friendship is yours. So, being able to listen to what's not said. Look deep, my friends. Look deep. What is invisible, or what is essential is invisible to the eye, came from the little prince. Next time there'll be another story. Stay strong and take care of each other and find some time to play. May you hear what's not being said. Bye for now.
Begin speaking at the tone. When you're finished,